right. It's the second half of episode 295. If you're listening via the Movie Review Show website, that's the moviereviewshow.blogspot.com or on Bandcamp, pizzapuppies.bandcamp. If you're listening to just on the MySpace, the podcast feed, it's just, what episode is it? It's episode 868. Confusing, I know, and I'm trying to consolidate matters. But hey, it's about a week later after I recorded the Lizzie review, which is the first half of this segment. And this is a cure for wellness. A cure for wellness. The most recent moving picture by Gore Verbinski. And, you know, I got started writing the review for the website, the written portion of this review, and in the writing of it, which happens sometimes, is I go down a rabbit hole, and I become fixated on the filmography of Gore Verbinski. It's truly a work of art in terms of how weird it is. So anyway, I do have thoughts on this movie, so I don't want to totally ruin it by going down the rabbit hole of just talking about the Gore Verbinski filmography on the whole, because I think that kind of doesn't do justice to this movie, which is in its own way a treasure trove of elements and things to just unpack. It's a confounding film. And why I watched it is again, it ended up on my IMDb watch list. And since I'm trying to knock that out, the 800,000 films that I have clicked to that list that I haven't seen, this is alphanumerically a cure for wellness. So the standalone A, of course. And I just recently watched A Borrowed Life for the same reason. A cure for wellness. Is at the top of that list, and how it ended up on that list and when it ended up on the list, I don't really know. But just quick, and again, I'm going to do this for the written review, but just let me run down the feature films of Gore Verbinski, because it is wild. 1997, Mouse Hunt. Okay. Slapstick comedy featuring Nathan Lane and a mouse. 2001, The Mexican. Now, I only know that movie because that's a Brad Pitt, Julia Roberts movie, but it also features James Gandolfini in a role as a gay hitman, which is that's how that's notable. The Ring. He did the American remake of The Ring, which was a monster smash hit. $250 million at the box office. Maybe his biggest. No, I'm sorry. He did the freaking then. What does he follow that up with? The Pirates of the Caribbean franchise, and he directs all three of them, and those are massive hits. But in between the first and second one, he puts out a Nicolas Cage movie, and this is actually the only one I've seen of this movie, and it's called The Weatherman. And if I recall, this is sort of like has a It's a Wonderful Life. Kind of Christmas, Christmas Carol, kind of like What Your Life Could Have Been type of plot. That was a flop, but that's the only one of his movies I've seen. I've never seen any of the Pirates movies, which is, I know people are always getting on my case for that, but But yeah. Anyways, he does the Pirates movies, and he does the second and third Pirates movies, and I think that's it. They've only done the three, right? Is there more Pirates movies? He directed three of them. I don't know. I don't really know anything about the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. But then 2011, he directs Rango, starring Johnny Depp, who of course he worked with on the Pirates movies, and that wins the best animated feature film, which I always thought it was a bad. I thought it got like bad reviews. I I guess it didn't. I guess it could. But Rango, some I don't even know what that's about. How he pivots to that is amazing. And then what does he do the next his next two movies? And after that, The Lone Ranger, which was not a flop, but I guess it didn't make a ton of movie money back. That's the curse of Johnny Depp dressed up as a Native American Tonto character. That got panned, I believe, if I'm not 30% on Rotten Tomatoes. And then he did this movie. And in between that, he produced Secret Life of Walter Mitty. And he's got another one coming out, TBA, called Spaceless. No information on that. Anyway, that's I'll dig a little deeper into that, but it's just something I felt worth mentioning, that this guy is like a name I kind of heard of, but to know like this career and how different all these movies are is just pretty impressive and kind of fascinating. But Care for Wellness is a hot mess. It is 2 hours and 26 minutes long. And I often talk about how movies are too long, and that's a time-honored tradition in movie criticism, film criticism. The movie's too damn long. In this case, the movie's too damn long. It doesn't need to be this long. This also was a bust of a box. This says $40 million budget, $26 million on the returns, which often, you know, a lot of times those budgets are lowered. And it is based on a 1924, inspired by a 1924 novel called The Magic Mountain. And it's stars an actor I'm not familiar with called Dane DeHaan. I know the guy. I know him from. He was in I think I remember him from the Spider-Man. He played Harry Osborn in one of the Spider-Mans. Actually, I saw part of that. He's got a very memorable looking face. He's got these kind of like steely blue eyes. You know, he's not really like your typical heartthrob leading man. I don't know why I'm getting into the weeds with this. It also has Mia Goth, who I saw recently in the space movie High Life. She plays a central role. And then, of course, Jason Isaacs, who is in a ton of, is in so many freaking things. I mean, this guy's the kind of actor you're like, oh, that guy. He's just in everything. And he, I know him particularly from The OA recently. He plays the kind of villain in the Netflix show The OA that recently got canceled that I was a fan of. And he plays a very similar kind of character in this film, and it's this kind of mad scientist doctor character. And to go into the plot of this is sort of, I think, besides the point. The one thing I want to say is that tonally this movie is very sharp looking. Like Gore Verbinski can certainly make a movie, and it's a beautiful looking movie. In the way that like these big blockbusters are like good looking, you know, and so he knows how to like do that, which is a trait, and it's not nothing. It can't be completely discounted. But then there's the themes and the plot of this film are just so. It's trying to say something about like modern life and culture, but it comes across so garbled that I don't know what it was trying to say. Like I honestly don't. I have no idea. Truly, truly, truly baffling movie in a lot of ways, but one that I can't say I didn't enjoy. I was struck by how much I was enjoying this, truly, because it's not a good film, and I can't just sit here and tell you that watch this film because it's a really good piece of movie making and you'll enjoy it from that angle. I think it has to be viewed as a bit of an artifact, not really in the way that it's so bad it's good, either, because it's not bad at all. But just existing as this kind of like, I guess $40 million is not a huge budget, but I mean, it looks really good. you know, you think of this guy, and I keep going back to this, I know, and I don't, apologies if this is beating a dead horse. But you've got this guy who's known for these huge blockbuster pirates movies, these really fun family kind of adventure style movies. And like, he's probably made so much money off of those movies, directing all three of them, that like, what does he do? And so this seems like more of a passion project type of thing. And I think that comes through. There's a passion to this film, even though it's not a great film. But you just, and again, it's too long to sit through this in one sitting. I can't imagine. I watched this in like three or four sittings. And the last one, I was pretty drunk the last 20 minutes watching it. And the ending's insane, so that kind of added to the whole, like, me just being like, I don't even know. I can't really put my finger on this film and try and, like, tell you exactly why it's worth watching. And I'm going to give it a 6 out of 10, I decided, because I think that's right where it is. I mean, it's... You know, I'm looking at some of the reviews here. This is A.O. Scott of the New York Times. It's all in good fun, though 2.5 hours, maybe more of this kind of fun than a body can stand. That's a good way of putting it. I don't really always like his reviews, but I thought that line made sense. Yeah, but I think this actor really holds it together, this Dane DeHaan. He buys into this role, as wildly stupid as it is for the most part. He's buying in. And that's A Cure for Wellness. I'm not just watching bad movies. I know Lizzie wasn't a very good one either, but I can assure you that I've been watching some good ones as well. Kelly Reichardt, I'm almost done with her filmography. A body of work as good as any director's ever made, honestly. I mean, it's just the consistency of quality in that filmography of Kelly Reichardt is just really amazing. So that's coming up sooner than later, hopefully, if I can get my S together, which I'm slowly doing in life here in the pandemic. And, can say that the next episode, if you want a little sneak peek of the next double shot, we're doing double shots here till episode 300. Episode 296 will feature a Bong Joon-ho movie, a lesser known Bong Joon-ho movie, as I start to rewatch his filmography, or watch for the first time some of the ones I have not seen, and a Sam Peckinpah movie. That's your teaser for what's to come here on the Movie Review Show. Thanks for listening.